Hello, everyone. I am Brad Gilmore.
And I am Jedi Master.
And this is the return. The return.
The return of Nerds Are Geeks.
The return of Nerds Are Geeks.
Oh, my gosh.
How you doing, man?
Man, I'm excited. I'm so excited. I've been waiting. It feels like a year.
And you just can't hide it?
I can't hide it at all.
It does feel like a long time has passed.
Because they dropped the first teaser was at the end of 2014.
You know what? I remember. So this is fun. We're talking Star Wars Episode 7. So I was in. It was the day after Thanksgiving. They dropped the trailer.
Yes.
I was in New York City. I literally just checked into my room at the Crown Plaza. I lay back after a long flight, and my phone goes off, and it says, Jedi Master. And I was like, what could he be saying? And then I go and I scroll over, boom, and you're like, the trailer is here. I was like, he can only be talking about Star Wars.
I watched it.
It was like, what? It was like a minute, 8 seconds or something?
It was really short. About a minute. Really short.
Oh, but it was fantastic.
Mostly like images and just scenes, but you don't really know.
That's probably all they had to show.
At that point.
You know, but we did see, I think, you know, before we knew who he was, I think we saw Kylo Ren.
Yeah,
we saw
Kylo Ren.
With the lightsaber.
We saw BB-8. We saw X-Wings. We saw the Millennium Falcon at the very end, the last shot. So it has that new and nostalgic feel to it. So that's why I'm really excited about it, because I think it's going into a completely new, you know, a new direction. However, they're gonna have that feel of the original trilogy.
So let's go back for a second. J.J. Abrams,
yes,
named the director. Disney, I think, bought Lucasfilms in like 20.
It's 2012. Is 2012? Yeah, for about $4 billion.
$4 billion.
Yeah, you know, chump change, whatever.
Whatever. George Lucas, I think, already had like $5 billion at that point, so he's probably like, I'll take it. Whatever. Let me ask you this. You know, we're both creative people. We've created our own things, you know, albums, stuff like that, you know. George Lucas created Star Wars and several other things under the Lucasfilms. Do you think that when Disney came to him and said, hey, we want to buy all this from you, we want to own it now, we want to own all your ideas, your creativity, everything you've put into it, pretty much your entire life, we want to buy that from you. Even though the price tag's $4 billion and you're probably like, oh, wow, that's a lot of money.
Yeah.
Do you think, like, why do you think he wanted to sell it? Aside, I mean, was it just for the money, or do you think he felt he was done?
No, I think he's always wanted to do the next three, but I also think that after the prequels, man, he doesn't like negative, press or criticism of his work, and that's something I've heard him say in interviews that he didn't want to go through the pressure and the stress of living up to something or doing a whole nother movie, knowing how most people feel about the prequels and him being a part of it. I think it was like he calls it like a divorce. It was just time to let go of that part of his life. So I respect that more so than someone trying to hang on and being too egotistical to be like, no one else can do this but me. I was very shocked. I remember I was at work and I saw it online. I was like, what? And then it said new films coming in 2015. I was like, whoa.
Yeah.
So the interesting thing is that Disney really didn't keep any of his original storyline or what he wanted, what he thought it should have gone, which is another good thing, I think, because you need a new spin on it. Because Disney, $4 billion, they're betting that everyone's kids that are kids now are going to grow up with this to keep it going, you know? So,
but we have to remember that Disney didn't just buy Star Wars. They bought Indiana Jones. They bought everything.
Yeah. So yeah, they have everything, but you know, the cash cow is going to be Star Wars.
Cause
they can slap Star Wars on anything. I mean, the merchandising has been crazy. That's the only thing I am slightly annoyed by
is how it's much like of it is.
So Star Wars cereal, and
you can't go anywhere right now without seeing some sort of Star Wars.
Commercials crazy.
Commercials everywhere. Subway's in on it. Target's in on it.
Dodge.
Everything. Wow. Everything is Star Wars, you know. But to an extent, though, this is kind of groundbreaking in a sense of when you hear people talking about the movie, you know, when Harrison Ford's on the Tonight Show and Jimmy Fallon's talking to him, but like everyone, no one's seen the movie. Well, some people have now seen the movie, but for the most part, the general audiences have not seen the movie. But we already know the characters' names, right? Yeah. Like, when is that? When's the last time you remember that happening with brand new characters? You know, I know Rey, Finn, I know BB-8, I know Kylo Ren, and like I haven't seen the movie, and I think
you
maybe
like you. I think it's very very smart marketing by them. You know, you're almost wanting to know about the new characters, and you know their names. You can identify with what they look like already, what they are. I think it was just, you know, a genius move by Disney to kind of keep that, be like, these are our new characters.
Because it seems like from what I can tell from kids and what I've seen online and all the merchandise is being sold, everyone loves BB-8. Like, BB-8 is the new thing.
I have a BB-8.
You have a BB-8. So yeah. What do you mean you have a – it's like a robot?
Yeah, it's like a robot. You can control it with your iPhone or iPad.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's pretty special.
Yeah. You can go get it Best Buy for $150.
$150.
I was like,
so they is that it. The only thing you've bought? Episode 7
from
related?
Force Awakens related. I think that's the only thing I have so far. But I plan on going in once I see the movie. Once I see the movie, man, it's all bets are off. I'm going for broke.
Well, you know, it's interesting, you know, but how they've done this. So we saw that first trailer. I remember we lost our mind over a year ago now.
Yeah.
When that first full trailer came out.
Yes.
That was a few months ago.
That was, I want to say that was summertime.
Summertime.
Yeah.
And
that was pretty amazing because you got to see more of what the story, what are some of the elements of the story and the themes in the movie.
Because, you know, the voiceover was Luke.
Yeah.
From Return of the Jedi?
Yeah. Now, I've read it. Some of it was from originally from Return of the Jedi, but he was called in to do a voiceover. So some of it is new recorded over pre-recorded, I guess, vocals from Return of the Jedi.
Wow. So, but, I mean, he's kind of saying that the Force is strong in my family, you know.
Yeah.
My sister has it.
Yes.
My father had it.
Yeah.
I have it. You know, and he's kind of laying this out, and then you're seeing all these things happen, whatever. You're seeing Finn, you're seeing Rey.
Yeah.
But at the very end.
That's when the magic happens.
At the very end, it's just Harrison Ford just turns around, Chewie, we're home. You know, and it's just
I was like,
people lost their minds.
I actually could have stopped there. I know there was another trailer and an international trailer. And there's been a million TV
spots.
There's
like eight TV spots.
After that, I was like, this is going to be arguably one of the best movies possibly ever. I think it's going to be way up there.
We're going to get to the money of this movie in a minute because, yeah. I mean, I think we can't do this show without talking about the money this movie is going to make. But let's talk about that final real trailer, you know, not the international trailer, that last one where we saw more of Han Solo saying it's true, all of it's true.
Yes.
And then you saw Leia, you saw Kylo Ren, Rey and Finn again and BB-8 and all that. But, you know, we didn't see Luke.
Yeah.
When you saw that trailer, I mean, what were you thinking then?
I was thinking that this is, you know, I don't know, man. Like, I was getting – it made me get emotional when he was saying – because it's kind of like how I feel trying to relate – talk about Star Wars with someone that maybe has never seen it or they're younger than me. It's like in their universe, all the stuff that happened previously is kind of like folklore, like mythology almost. Like, you know, Finn and Rey kind of – googly-eyed listening to Han Solo tell him, like, yeah, all that stuff with Luke and – yeah, we did that. And they're kind of like, oh, well, we just thought it was, like, made up, you know. We didn't know it was real. That's cool to me because it's like everyone is going to go see it. They're going to basically relearn everything that's happened. Like it's like a history lesson with new characters.
Well, you know, I think that's very smart about Disney because think about how many kids are going to see this Star Wars movie and it's the first Star Wars movie they ever see.
Exactly.
So they're giving them those expositionary scenes, even in the trailers.
Yeah.
Educating them.
Yeah. I mean, you got the melted Darth Vader helmet. like a relic, like, man, it's going down.
And then Kylo Ren looks like a great Vader-ish kind of guy.
Yeah, so he's supposed to be like a Vader obsessive, you know, I don't know. I don't think JJ said he's a Sith Lord, but he's definitely, you know, versed in the dark side. And the interesting thing about that is that some people in the universe may not have known that Darth Vader was actually the one that, you know, he redeemed himself and he killed the Emperor to save Luke. And there's some people in the galaxy probably still thinks like Luke killed Darth Vader or Luke killed the Emperor. And now maybe that's why we haven't seen him. Maybe he's a recluse. Maybe he's on the run or whatever. Maybe they're looking for him. So there's two sides to that story. There was only three people in that room, you know, at the end of Return of the Jedi. So that story may not have spread across the galaxy, so to speak.
Yeah,
which
Luke,
I think that's
Luke
a pretty cool
just
element
kept it to
too.
Himself.
Yeah.
Now, God, there's so much to talk about. Oh my God. So let's talk a little story, I guess, since we're on it. Luke. So we hear him in that one trailer. We don't see him again. You know, we just talked about what we talked about. Maybe he was one of the only. He was the only living one, I guess, who kind of knew what happened.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And he goes away. Presumably, do you think Luke? What do you think Luke's role is? Do you think, because for some reason a lot of people think he's gone to the dark side. Some people I've heard he's going to play the Obi-Wan Kenobi type role in this incarnation. What is going on with Luke?
It's 30 years after Return of the Jedi. So I think that Luke has just been away. I don't know if he's good or bad at this point. I think it'd be an interesting twist if he does end up going to the dark side. But I would really want to see how it plays out with the new characters, because I really believe some of the new characters are in relation. There's a Skywalker somewhere in the younger characters, kind of has to be, whether it's from Han and Leia or Luke, I don't know. But I do, you have to remember, you know, Yoda's dying words were to Luke, you know, take on what you've learned and show others. So in those 30 years, it's safe to say that he probably tried to train some people or start the Jedi trainings over again, get, you know, new recruits. So, you know, we don't know what happened with that. You know, maybe he failed. Maybe that's the reason why he's distanced himself from everyone else. Maybe I would like to think that he studied the Force so much that he's just like a supreme badass at it. And he's just like, he's scared of his own power. And that's why he kind of stays out of whatever's going on with the Resistance and the, I guess, what they call it, the First Order.
Yeah.
Kind of like the remnants of the Empire.
Of the Empire.
So it can go a lot of different ways. I just love the fact that they did not put him on the poster. They didn't put him in the trailers. You know, like, we just don't know. Like, this is one of the rare moments where you actually get to go to a movie, if you haven't been online looking at spoilers, and you don't know what's going to happen. And I think that doesn't happen that often, you know, especially, you know, with us coming from music. Like, how often do you get to listen to an album the first time and not have already heard a leak or
half the songs off of it or something like that? Let's talk about something interesting. There's a couple of key story, not story points, but stories that have been in the media that I think we should talk about. But let's go all the way back to when J.J. Abrams was announced to be the director of Episode 7. J.J. Abrams just finished, I think, the first Star Trek movie. He was working on Into Darkness, I think.
Yeah, Into Darkness, yeah.
He was working on it when he was announced as the director for Star Wars Episode 7. A lot of outrage. William Shatner wouldn't shut up about it. A lot of people were like, how could you do Star Trek and then do Star Wars? To me, I said, I'm like, well, who cares? Did you have that same kind of mentality? Were you excited about Abrams?
I was excited about Abrams because of what he did with Star Trek. With the reboot and how well he's done it. But also, at heart, he is a Star Wars fanboy, more so than he ever was a Star Trek fan. And I think it's going to show in this movie than versus the Star Treks.
You know?
But I don't really care. I don't, you know, he's a director. He's a storyteller. He's got his own production company. Like, I don't, that's more of like a personal bias, I guess. Maybe he has, I don't know. You have to ask him, but I didn't feel any way about it.
I thought it was kind of stupid that people were complaining about it.
I was like, just look what he did with Star. He made Star Trek cool, which, you know, out of the two, Star Wars is far cooler. But I mean, he made Star Trek young and hip and cool. It was like, if you can do this with Star Trek, I can't imagine what you're going to do with Star Wars.
Yeah. I mean, to me, Star Trek was like, you know, the generation before Star Wars fans, you know?
Yeah.
And it was just kind of like, we knew about Spock and Kirk, and I knew about Picard, but I knew about Klingons and all that kind of stuff, and Khan, but I never watched Star Trek, and I never cared to.
Yeah.
Star Wars, believe it or not, people are going to think this is crazy. I think I started with the prequels.
Really?
I think the first movies I saw were the prequels.
Interesting.
Because in 99,
I'm so sorry.
I was 7 in 99.
Okay.
So these were like the first. To me, Jar Jar Binks was awesome when I was 7.
Please don't repeat that.
I had a marker that had his head on it, you know, and I was like, this is the coolest person ever.
Jar Jar Binks is the bane of my existence when it comes to Star Wars characters.
You know what I love, though, about Attack of the Clones?
What's that?
Was one of the opening scenes. Jar Jar Binks, you know, comes, you know, they're having that meeting right there, you know, in the beginning.
Yeah, yeah.
And Jar Jar Binks comes in, and before he says anything, he literally turns and looks at the camera. And then he keeps walking, you know? And literally, that was me saying, George Lucas was just giving everyone the bird right then and there. I'm going to shoot you the middle finger in this opening scene.
Part of me thinks that, yeah, George was like messing with all of us with Jar Jar Binks. So there was no. There was no reason for him. And then for him to have like become like a real politician and had like voting power and he kind of started the Clone Wars, actually. Like, it was his vote to give the Chancellor emergency powers. So it's like this dude caused the Clone Wars, which caused all this other stuff to happen. And he's so insignificant when it comes to all the other characters.
Like the grand scheme of things.
Yeah,
so
it's just like you gave this guy so much responsibility and he's a terrible, terrible character. Like, what is going on?
But to me, like, so yeah, I started with Star Wars with the prequels, and I was, you know, a fan as a child, and then, you know, you find out the original trilogy, and I watched that, and actually, believe it or not, watching the prequels first and then going back, I was, like, more in tune with the story a little more. I guess that's kind of what the prequels are for.
Yeah, I guess I have a love-hate relationship with the prequels.
Yeah, I think everyone. I think
because
everyone,
like, when they first, when episode one came out, I was a junior in high school.
Yeah.
And I remember walking to a theater and seeing the first teaser poster with little Anakin, and then his shadow was Darth Vader.
Vader.
And I was like, oh my God. Like, I was just as excited as I am now. I was like, man, we're going to get new Star Wars movies. We're going to finally see how he becomes Darth Vader. We're going to finally see him and Obi-Wan fight. Like, I was excited for it. It's just the storyline and how he told the story, and the pod race was like 45 minutes of the film.
Oh, the
and
pod race was – that's I think just, that's the number one thing most people complain
about.
Yeah,
it was just like, I don't really need to see a baby Anakin. You know, my argument is that I think they should have started – episode one should have been what episode two was.
Yeah.
Already Anakin, he's already like a part of the Jedi. None of this midichlorian crap, and I don't know if I want to train him. Maybe we'll train him. I don't know. You train him since I'm dead. Like, no. Like,
so no Qui-Gon Jinn?
I would just start with Obi-Wan is a Jedi Knight, and he starts training this young teenager, troubled, whatever. You can do the mother thing, I think, but start it from there. And then episode three should have been more episode two, where you start to see him turn. And then episode three, in my mind, should have been him already in the suit hunting down other Jedi in the galaxy.
Instead of ending the way it did, where he's just of,
where they, I kind of feel like episode three, they just did everything that you've been waiting to see in one movie. And it was so like, okay, I know this is going to happen.
Episode three was the best of them.
Yeah, it was the best
by
of them.
Far.
But I think casting too, man. Hayden Christensen was absolutely horrid. Back then, it was like you were hoping that he would kind of turn it on and be like a good actor, but episode three, it was just like.
So I just don't know if it was the actors or the director, you know, because George Lucas.
Combination of both.
George Lucas, I mean, as a great creative mind as he is, the man is not a great director.
Yeah.
I mean, when you retrospectively look at the story and the way it was presented in Star Wars Episode 4, New Hope, or whatever.
Yeah.
Like, you can actually tell when a seasoned director who is used to working with actors came in for the second one.
Mm-hmm.
I can't think of his name right now.
You're talking about the writer?
No, I'm talking about the director, of Episode 2. I mean, of Episode 5.
Gotcha.
Sorry. But when he came in, Martin Campbell. Is that who it is?
Yeah,
is that who it is?
I think you're correct.
I hope I'm right. But when he came in and did it. I think that's wrong. But when he came in and he started working with the actors, you actually saw an improvement in the acting.
Yeah, yeah.
And like you felt a little more engaged. So I think George Lucas was always kind of a weird director. And then you had what's the chick's name who's from Thor who was in the movies? Why can I ever remember her
Natalie
name?
Natalie Portman.
Natalie Portman.
Oh, my God.
I think she's sexy, too.
Love you, Natalie.
Natalie's pretty sexy.
I'm a fan. I'm a fan of her work.
You know, to divert to Marvel for 1 second, since it's all Disney anyway.
Yeah, Disney. Cut the check.
Yeah. Naomi Campbell. Why can I ever remember her name?
Who are you talking about?
The girl we just were talking about.
Natalie Portman.
Natalie Portman.
Those are two completely different people. And they did not look the same.
I have the worst problem remembering her name. Natalie Portman. Between Natalie Portman, Scarlett Johansson, Zoe Saldana.
Man.
They just have the greatest roster over there.
Disney's over there doing it, man.
That Marvel. Think about that. I mean,
yeah. That's a nice little lineup right there.
Oh, man.
Black Widow, holla at me.
Oh, yeah. I mean, brother. You know, this this little corner store over by my house still has a poster up for Winter Soldier.
Yeah.
And it's and I'm telling you, Scarlett Johansson just looks so sexy on that poster. It's out of this world. So let's get back to Star Wars for a second. What'd you think about the whole Black Stormtrooper thing? People going crazy over it.
You know, it's really – I think it's just ignorant.
Why were people mad about it?
I don't know if it was like a real thing. I hope it was a joke because someone was – I don't know. Some people were saying like it's one of the underlying themes of Star Wars is killing white people or something like that. I don't know. An attack against white supremacy. I was like, bro, the character that everyone is most, you know, probably most recognizable is Darth Vader. It was voiced by James Earl Jones. You have Lando.
He's a black man.
He's a black man. You have Lando Calrissian in Empire Strikes Back and Return of the Jedi. Lando, you know, Billy Dee Williams, black man. I don't think – when I watched Star Wars as a kid, you know, I never once interjected race or any of the – maybe some of the social issues that are going on in the country right now. Into that movie. Now you can read into things and draw a different perspective. I mean, you know, I can look at this sheet of paper and say it's white. You could say that it's off white or it's gray. You know, it's whatever. So I think people just feed into stuff that's not really there. But it's big to do about nothing, man. I mean, it's not real. It's not America. So it's a made up galaxy of people everywhere. You know, like the clone soldiers, they were all Jango Fett, and he looked like he's a brown guy. So, was anybody mad about that?
And it's ridiculous. And even though, I mean, it's coming from both sides. So you have these idiot white people who are going out there saying Black Stormtrooper, they must be killing whites, and then you have this idiot, what's her name on MSNBC, Melissa Harris Perry. You know what I'm talking about? And then she's Melissa Harris Perry is this African American woman who has a show on MSNBC known for like controversial opinions. Okay. And I saw this everywhere yesterday. She says Star Wars is racist. She explained when the iconic villain Darth Vader was in his black costumes, he was voiced by African American actor James Earl Jones.
Yes.
He was terrible and bad and awful and used to cut off white men's hands. And you didn't, you know, actually, she said, and you didn't. Actually, and he didn't actually claim his son, so he was an illegitimate father, right?
Wow.
And then she says, but as soon as he claims his son and goes over to the good side, he takes off his mask and he is white.
That is the dumbest thing I've ever heard in my entire life. That makes no sense.
What a crazy
the man in the suit, Anakin Skywalker, I don't even know if he's considered white. In the movie. You know what I'm saying? Like
in Star Wars, do they even have race?
It's freaking sci-fi fantasy. Like, yeah. Chill out. Take a break. Turn off the late night blues and, you know, have some, I don't know, have an imagination.
Why does everything always have to be? Well, you know, Star Wars has always been called into question, even with the prequels, how Anakin was kind of immaculate conception or whatever. That's one of
the shortcomings of George Lucas' storytelling. Like, I don't really need to know the science behind the Force and why someone is Force sensitive and why someone isn't. Midichlorians or whatever the hell he tried to. That's stupid.
Yeah.
It's better when it's unexplainable. It's just Some people got it and they can train with it and they can become greater at using it. And some people don't have it. That I hate midichlorians.
Have you seen the People vs. George Lucas?
Yes.
You've seen it. Because I think we talked about this years ago, and I told you about it. I mean, and they talk about that, too. Now, let me just ask you something. Since we're all Star Wars out right now, about the Han in the cantina,
Him and Greedo?
Yeah, Greedo shoots first, and the original Han shot first. A lot of people in that documentary, a lot of people online have said that fundamentally changes Han's character fabric, you know? Does it change? And for people who don't know, in the original movie, Han shoots Greedo first without even, you know, giving Greedo a chance to shoot anything. Just kills him there, cold-blooded, in the cantina. In the re-released, digitally remastered Blu-ray edition for the eighth time.
Special editions.
Greedo shoots at Han, and then Han shoots Greedo and kills him. Is that a huge deal?
For me, I think every single scene that was added, every single new celebration at the end of Return of the Jedi, the changing of the Ewok song at the end of Return of the Jedi, all of that stuff was stupid and unnecessary. I didn't really think anything of Han other than the fact that he's sitting in front of a bounty hunter that's supposed to either kill him, you know, take him dead or alive and get paid for it. So him shooting first makes a little bit more sense to me versus, okay, changing it to where he was shot at first and then he's shot to kill. That doesn't make any sense. Because if you're a smuggler and you're on the run and you know that there's money on your head, why would you take any chances? So that doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, I mean, there were a couple of things that were changed and
Did
the CGI bother you? Because I heard a lot of people complain about it, but I thought it kind of broadened the galaxy a little bit.
Now, the certain scenes that were CGI, that's what bothered me. They could have added CGI to make it seem like this is a part of the same world, I guess. But at the same time, I think it's going to be called into question in this movie. Only reason this is fresh in my mind because I've been watching like all of the movies over the last couple of weeks. And Return of the Jedi, they add all these celebration scenes in different parts of the galaxies after the Death Star was blown up for a second time. And I don't really know if there's going to be a reference point to where, okay, so everyone knew that went down, you know? And then now we have a Kylo Ren that's searching the galaxy supposedly for, you know, lightsabers and relics of the old Empire and stuff like that. How does that really stay on that, you know, stay in some sort of continuum from the older movies? So I think when Lucas went back and added those scenes and try to make it fit in with the prequels, they're so far removed. They're all 30 years apart from each other. He should have just had this is how it was. And then over time, things were more spread out in the galaxy. And it wasn't that, you know, like Coruscant with all those ships and temples and, you know, it looked like it was like the New York City of the galaxy. Maybe things changed after that. Like, I think he was on the right track. Prequels should have just been a timepiece of Anakin Skywalker, his fall. And then the original trilogy is about his offspring and the redemption of Anakin Skywalker. And these new ones are going to be, I don't know. You know, we'll find out.
How closely related do you think the new trilogy, 7, 8, and 9, are going to be to the prequels? Do you think there's going to be any continuity aside from the lineage of the Skywalkers?
I think there is going to be some because, I mean, clearly there's reference to Darth, Darth Vader, and I'm assuming there's going to be some sort of reference to the Emperor, but definitely with Luke being in there and, you know, maybe there's another Skywalker among the new characters. I definitely think so from a Skywalker standpoint, but I don't think they have to, you know, I don't think a Gungan needs to pop up in episode 8. Like,
we're not
going to
hear anything about
guys?
Queen Amidala or Qui-Gon Jinn or Darth Maul or anything like that.
Nah, I don't think so.
I think that would just be stupid to even make that.
The only thing that would make sense would be really cool if there's a scene of like Luke communicating with maybe Yoda as a Force ghost, something like that. That I'd be up for because it would make sense.
Yoda would be sweet.
That would be cool just as an appearance, not like Yoda just in the movie, like, all right, man, what's going on now? Like,
nah, no. Yeah, or whatever. let's talk about the money this movie's going to make. So,
money.
Pre-sale tickets went on online, you know, however, a month ago or whatever that was. And the first day sales were ridiculous. AMC Theaters, the second largest theater chain in the country with over 5,000 locations, said the film broke their single-day advance ticket sales record by 10 times.
Damn.
You know, movietickets.com said this was the most traffic they've had in their 15-year history, tripling their previous highest number. IMAX reported that this is the largest pre-sale screening ever, selling $6.5 million in tickets in one day across 390 screens in North America. So
that's ridiculous.
Pre-sale on this money on this movie must already almost equal the budget. The budget's $200 million film.
I think I read something today that said that they've probably reached their budget.
So they've already they're going into
opening weekend
making money.
And then that's not even counting merchandising. Merchandising is going to be much significantly more than the ticket sales.
Always, yeah, yeah. Right? Always. I mean, George Lucas didn't make his money on the screen. He made his money in licensing the products.
Exactly.
But how much, you have to guess. This film's going to open number one.
Yeah, of course. I think this film's going to be number one
going
for
into the
weeks.
New year, for, yeah. For sure.
Yeah.
How much money is this going to make opening weekend?
Oof.
Is this going to break? Is this going to be the highest grossing movie of all time?
I think so. I think it's going to do $1 billion in the first week.
I think it's going to do $1 billion.
Yeah. I think it's possible worldwide. I think it could do $1 billion
worldwide. Yeah. Domestically in the States.
Domestically, maybe half that.
$500 million.
$500-600 million.
Now I don't know what the record is. I'm going to look it up. As we're speaking, but Avatar, I know, holds the record for highest grossing film of all time. I pray
to God that Star Wars beats that movie.
Are you not an Avatar fan?
Avatar was one of those spectacles where, like, I did enjoy it when I watched it, but I haven't watched it since.
You haven't? I've never seen Avatar.
I saw it one time in a theater. I think it was like one of the first films. It was kind of like all 3D. I think it's a good movie, but it doesn't have any, like, I'm not going to rewatch it a bunch of times. I didn't buy it. I don't want to own it. I probably will never see that movie again.
All right. So you're not excited about the sequels?
No. Nah, they're going to have sequels?
There's like three of them that are coming out.
Nah, man. They can fall back on that.
All right. Let me see. Highest grossing movies. I'm looking for of all time. There we go. I'm trying to. Highest grossing opening weekend movies. Let's look at this. Well, this year, oh, here we go. Here it is right here. List of the highest gross openings for films. I'm pulling this up via Wikipedia, which gets so much flack for being a bad source, but it's a fantastic source.
I think it's a good source. It's a fine source. All right. Source of the people, by the people.
Okay, opening weekend. Adjusted for inflation. No, this can't be right. Hold on. Hold on. Okay, here we go. Okay, this looks more right. Okay. So, in its first 3 days domestically, the number one movie, highest grossing opening weekend of all time, Jurassic World, with $208 million in its opening weekend.
Yeah.
Second place is Marvel's The Avengers with $207. Third place, Age of Ultron, 191. Fourth place, Iron Man 3 with 171. And finally, fifth place, Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows Part 2, 169 million.
Hmm.
I think for sure this movie's going to be number one for opening weekend.
Yeah.
I don't think there's anything on here. Like, Jurassic World was huge. I mean, that was a big, big movie. Did you like Jurassic World?
No.
You didn't like Jurassic World. Why not?
No. I just, once again, man, storytelling. I can't wrap my head around the idea of, you've done this how many times? Like three. This is the fourth one, right?
This is the fourth Jurassic Park.
Why are we still building amusement parks with dinosaurs? Why? Why are we not surprised when they break out and kill people and then we have to shut it down again?
Well, to their defense, there's only a park in the first one, remember?
Okay, the second one.
And it never fully opened.
Yeah.
The second one, they went back to the island, and then because there was the second island, right? And then the third one. What happened in the third one?
I don't know. I think they just. Man, they need to stop. I mean, I did enjoy.
They're not stopping now.
I know they're not going to stop, but I enjoyed Chris Pratt in it. I didn't like the whole storyline with like the two kids and then their parents are having a divorce. I was like, that has nothing to do with anything.
The divorce angle was weird.
Yeah, and then like the chick that's running the park, she's their aunt. She's the worst aunt ever. She left them unattended the entire time. Like, she wasn't making time for her nephews.
I did like how her assistant got eaten, though, by the dinosaur. That's pretty sweet.
And then I guess the new elements of it was cool. They're trying to train the dinosaurs.
The raptors, yeah.
Yeah, and then, they're creating, they're mixing, breeding, like, I don't know.
Oh, yeah, the...
The only Jurassic Park or whatever, the first one is...
That's all you need, really.
Yeah, that's the best one by far.
This is another Disney company, or Disney property, I believe. Jurassic World, I believe, is a Disney property as well. I mean, Disney has cornered the entire market.
Disney owns my favorite things. They own Star Wars, they own Marvel, and they own ABC, which owns ESPN.
Yeah.
That's pretty much my life.
Which owns MTV, which owns VH1, which owns E! Network, which owns...
If they owned, like... Stone's Throw's records and Good Music and Def Jam or something like that, then it'd be
Disney bought Def Jam.
Yeah, if Disney buys Def Jam, then they own everything.
Power move of the century if Disney buys Def Jam. How awesome would that be of just like the Def Jam logo, like throw some Mickey Mouse ears on it and then that be... So you're thinking $500 million for opening weekend.
Yes, sir.
$500 million.
Yes, sir. I think it. I mean, they already have what $200 million
in
advance tickets. So they're going to double that at least. It's at least $400 million.
Okay. My guess is going to be $397 million. My guess is $397 million. So we're going to have to follow up on this. So what's your final?
My
guess?
Final number. I'm going to say $415 million.
$415 million.
Yeah.
And $397 million. So. We'll let that simmer, and we'll see some. But hey, I wanted to play a game with you.
Yes.
So you're a big Star Wars fan, obviously.
Yeah.
You've named yourself Jedi Master. So
correct.
You're obviously more of a fan than I am because my name is Brad Gilmore. So I mean, I'm automatically disqualified. But what I want to do, something that's fun. So there's a game that I play on another show that I do called the Rotten Tomatoes game.
Okay.
Okay. And this is where you have Rotten Tomatoes. You go on there and you pick, you know, movies have percentages. You're familiar with Rotten Tomatoes?
Yeah, familiar.
Okay, so we have 6 Star Wars movies, correct? Episode 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6.
Yes.
So what I want you to do is I want to see how good your critical eye is.
Okay.
I want you to arrange these movies in the order in which you think they would rank on Rotten Tomatoes. So as you're figuring this out, I'm going to actually look up the ranked score. So what we'll do, just to have some fun, we'll put them in order. Mm-hmm. You will put them in order.
Okay.
And then we'll see if you can actually guess
if they're ranked in the right order.
Not guess if they're ranked in the right order. Guess what their ranking is, like what their percentage is.
Okay.
Wow, there's already a ranking for episode 7 on here. Well, I'm not going to reveal that.
Yeah, let's not do that.
I'm not going to do that for the fanboys. But let's see what you can come up with here.
Is it a good ranking?
For episode 7?
Yeah.
It's fantastic.
All right. That's all I need to know.
It's very special. it's huge. I mean, it's not Donald Trump huge, but,
man,
you know, if Star Wars episode 7 were a country, Donald Trump would want to build a wall around it. I can almost guarantee that.
Keep them out.
Keep them out. We want to get rid of them. It's very special. It's huge. Okay. So I have the percentages written down.
All right.
So I want you to put them in order from, you know, best to worst in order. What do you got?
Okay. The best, Empire Strikes Back.
Okay.
A New Hope.
Mm-hmm.
Return of the Jedi.
Okay, that would be...
And Revenge of the Sith.
Okay.
And then I'm going to go... Phantom Menace. And then Attack of the Clones.
Okay. So, you said... What was first for you?
Empire.
Empire Strikes Back. So you went episode 5, 4, 6, 3, 1, 2.
Yeah.
Okay. Here is the percentages and the correct order. But I want to say, Hash Jedi, you are not far off, my friend.
Oh, man.
Here we go.
Must have missed
number
something.
One. Mm-hmm. Well, here's the thing, though, is that they're interchangeable because episode 4 and episode 5 are both tied.
Oh, wow.
So okay. I guess you're technically correct in so far. So let's continue. episode 6 is number 3.
Okay.
And then you chose episode 3, which is also ranked the same.
Okay.
Both have the same score. So you're doing great. Now, this is where you made your misstep here. You put episode 1 and then 2. It's so two than one. Gotcha. But what do you think the percentages are for these movies? For episode 1, what do you think Rotten Tomatoes gave it?
30s?
No. It's okay. You know what? This is going to be hard. So I'm going to tell you what each one got. Episode 1 got 55%.
Okay.
So it's rotten on Rotten Tomatoes. Yeah. Episode 2 got 66%, which is fresh.
Okay.
It's fresh. episode 3 got 79%. Episode 4, 94%. Episode 5, 94%.
Nice.
And episode 6, 79%. So not really reflected as higher as the first two. And gotcha. I will say, episode 7, I'm not going to spoil anything, but it is ranked higher than all six of these films.
Are you serious?
Yes.
What the fuck?
So, I mean, the anticipation is continuing
Damn.
To build.
Damn.
It is ranked higher than all of them. Yeah, it is ranked higher than every single one of them. It's just phenomenal. I mean, the critics love it.
Man,
we're all excited to see it.
Got to have it. I must have it. I'm gonna see it. I'm gonna see it tomorrow night. I don't know if I'm gonna catch it Friday. I'll see it Saturday and Sunday.
Oh, you're more than one.
Yeah. Day. So like this, the first showing. I'm gonna see it over at IPIC.
The new theater here in Houston.
Theater, laid back couch, whatnot. Really comfortable. Yeah. Really small room, but.
Tickets are very expensive over there, right?
Yeah, there's more than most, more than usual. But
I mean, are we talking double the normal price or triple or
not double, but one and a half times.
Approaches
that double mark. But I think Saturday I want to see it in catch the IMAX.
Oh man!
And then Sunday I'll probably do 3D. just got to see it all.
Any way
I can see it, I want to see it.
Are you a fan of 3D?
It's not bad. I'm not too big on it. I'm more a fan of like the IMAX and RPX with like the sound. And matter of fact, I'm gonna have to add a fourth one.
I had to definitely rethink that one. Yeah. But we're excited. It's here.
It's going down.
It's upon us. Star Wars Episode 7, The Force Awakens. You like the title? You don't like the title?
I love the title.
Love the title. And then next year, we're going to be doing the same thing because the anthology film comes out next year.
Yes, Rogue One.
Rogue One. What is that about again?
That is about the band of rebels that stole the plans for the first Death Star.
So this is a prequel?
What? Is this in between 3 and 4? It's either in between 3 and 4 or in between 4 and 5.
Okay.
One of those. But it's about those people that stole the plans. So Darth is supposed to appear, which not mad at that at all. The other anthology I think is supposed to be a younger Han Solo. I'm gonna reserve
Sell
judgment
that
on that until they find the right person.
Are you excited though? They're gonna do one a year.
I don't know, man. It depends. If Rogue One is as good as I think it can be. Because it's an interesting story, I think. It can give it more of a galaxy feel, like this is more of that Marvel Cinematic Universe type deal where this was going on when this was going on. I think it has potential, But
I don't know.
I'm really more or less about the episodes, man. I want the the trilogy films, the anthology ones, I'll hold judgment until they make a good one first.
Oh yeah, well there you go. Well, you know, I mean, people said the same thing about Marvel, and they continue to hit it out of the park.
Yeah.
I think.
Yeah.
You're a fan of Ant-Man?
I do like Ant-Man.
Yeah.
Yeah. I like everything that they do at this point, man. They're gonna have to make a really crappy movie for me to be like, damn, you know.
Like Fantastic Four, Ben?
Yeah, it has to be horrible.
Did you see Fantastic Four?
Yes, I did.
Was it as bad as you thought it was gonna be?
No, it actually wasn't as bad as I thought it was gonna be, but it wasn't that good either.
It was short.
It was short. I'm over. And this goes for a lot of the properties that are out there. I'm over the whole, like, let's reboot and do a new intro movie. Like, we know how Fantastic Four got their powers. We know this. Like, do something smart with Fantastic Four. I was talking about this with David the other day. And they need to have an end of credit scene in one of these new Marvel movies with Stark and Banner in the lab. And then maybe Reed pops in on some science stuff, right? Then have Human Torch show up in the new Spider-Man, since they're buddies. And then maybe in like another team-up film, have Doom be a villain. And then they have to kind of call upon Reed and see, like, you guys always go up against this guy. Like, maybe a smarter way of introducing them.
Yeah.
Versus like, oh, they were students and they went to space and then they came.
Do you think though that Marvel Studios proper would even want the Fantastic Four property at this time? Because I know the rights are still in Fox's hands, so they're dealing with X-Men and Fantastic Four.
I think eventually
and Deadpool.
Yeah, I think eventually it will come back to Marvel. And I think Marvel does want it because I mean they have Doom, Galactus, Silver Surfer. They have so many great characters that haven't been done right yet. I think Marvel would do it right.
How excited are you about Deadpool?
I'm very excited about Deadpool.
It looks great. And then I forgot that he was in X-Men Origins already as Deadpool, but then like they sewed his mouth shut and it's like, why would you do that to the merc with the mouth? But I love there was a new poster that came out that said I'm going to be a mouthful.
Yeah,
on it. It's just
the marketing for Deadpool has been very, very good.
Who's ever marketing the film deserves an Academy Award for marketing.
It's pretty
because
funny.
They have they've killed it.
Yeah.
Completely. And I hear there's going to be a Star Wars centric trailer for Deadpool ahead of Star Wars.
Okay,
that's what I hear.
Huh? That'd be nice. That'd be nice. I can go for that. Did you see the Apocalypse trailer for X-Men?
Yeah.
I think they're going to do it again.
I think they are.
Because Days of Future Past was very, very good.
Days of Future Past might be my favorite X-Men.
I think it's my favorite, too.
It was so good.
It's too good.
Did you see the Rogue cut?
No, I did not see the Rogue cut.
You didn't see the Rogue cut?
Is it significantly better?
It's not a lot of different, but you get more Anna Paquin, who plays Rogue, in it. Like, she's an integral part of the storyline.
Mm.
It might be worth an Amazon rental.
Yeah.
Just rent
Prime.
Yeah, Prime rental, $2.99 or whatever it is. but there's so many great things coming out. Olivia Munn is in it plays Psylocke.
Yes.
Psylocke, I mean. Oh, she's another one. They
got some good castings going over there.
Who's ever doing the casting?
Good call, man. Get that man a raise.
Get that man a raise. He's got a great eye. Great eye for talent. He's got a great eye for talent.
I'm kind of surprised we didn't get a chance to talk about the Batman, Superman. Debacle.
You know what? Let's
debacle
do it.
In
Let's
making.
Do it before we get out of here. What the hell was up with that trailer?
Man, they basically showed us the whole movie.
I saw the movie already.
Yeah, I know what's going to happen. I just didn't like
showing us Doomsday.
Showing us Doomsday, but then you kind of showed us how you made him too
with Zod.
With Zod. So it's just I don't know, man. I still have hope for
the first trailer is the best movie trailer of all time. The first trailer for Batman vs. Superman.
Yeah, the first one where they actually showed him, you know, Superman and Batman kind of going at it. Like, yes, that's really all I needed.
That's all anyone needed.
And then, you know, Wonder Woman pops up out of nowhere. I heard Aquaman's going to pop up too. It's like you guys are in such a rush to just make a Justice League movie. I am excited about the Batman or what what might be the storyline for the next Batman solo movie, given Ben Affleck doesn't ruin it.
Which I don't think he will.
They're going to do the Red Hood. And they're going to, the first Robin, Dick Grayson, he's Nightwing at this point. And the second Robin was killed by Joker, Jason Todd. But he gets resurrected through Ra's al Ghul and that little pit that he always goes to stay alive for however long. So I think if they can do that for a Batman film, that would be really, really dope to see on the
Hey,
on
Suicide Squad screen. Looks great too.
Yeah, I want to see that as well.
Suicide Squad looks fantastic.
So that they're doing all right, man. But Man of Steel was good. I like Man of Steel.
Kevin Spacey has a really Lex Luger-y kind of vibe to him. Yeah. That's true. That's true. But anyway, we could fall down the rabbit hole. But we're going to try to do this more regularly. The original title was Geek Up, and I might like that more. But we'll figure it out.
Geeked Up.
Geeked Up. Anyway, for Jedi Master, I'm Brad Gilmore. We will see you when the Force Awakens.
Yeah.